It's a very philosophical text, and I believe some of you are still a little bit in dreamland or in between the dreamland. So I request you to concentrate a little. It reveals one of the secrets of Bhakti Yoga, and that is that the Lord reveals Himself according to the form or the specific, let us say, nature or aspect on which the devotee meditates while he performs bhakti. It's an introduction to the little lecture series or the series of katas which I intend to give during this festival. And I would be very happy if you can focus a little on this, because it will give you a deeper understanding of the Damodara Lila. The translation of this verse is, O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. And thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So, basically, two points are made here, that the Lord comes into our heart and sits there if we give him a proper oral reception. Oral reception means we receive him through the ears, through the process of hearing. So by this process of hearing the Bhagavatam, the Lord can or comes and sits in our heart. And then, in the second part of the verse, it is specifically described that that form of the Lord on which a devotee meditates, that's a little bit an empty language. We use the word too often, so it has lost its meaning for many of us. That form to which you feel inclined. Oh, I like the Lord in this form of Narsingadev. He really captures my heart. Or in the Damodara Lila, I like the form who's hiding himself behind the curtain. Maybe most of you have not yet seen Krishna is also here. Have you seen? You need to follow his footprints, and then you will find him. He's a little secret. You need to look a little bit more than you usually are accustomed to look. And the Lord then begins to manifest in that form in which you feel inclined. Satyavrata Muni, a great soul who composed the Damodarashtaka for us, only wanted the Lord in his form as Bal Gopal, means a small little baby boy. And that's how he comes to Satyavrata Muni. Purport. There's a statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotees in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him, indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable Pliable means, as far as I understand, I have to turn to Jai Krishna, who knows 50% of the English language, I found out. Because this demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he's pliable. Pliable means he's to be influenced, or pliable, that's in the 50% you don't know. Yes. Yes. He is adaptable and moldable to the devotee in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Yeya tamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse, it is particularly mentioned, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of matured devotional service, or prema, love of Godhead. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word shrutekshita. The Shrutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. And by this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish. Rubbish is like garbage. And thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord, as described in the Vedas. Now, the question is, how are we attached to a particular form of the Lord? How is this coming? And Prabhupada gives a very, direct answer. He says, this attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. It is very natural, it's not forced. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. You can't imagine how much discussion on this is there on the internet on this question. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord. And thus, the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires. And thus the Lord does not part from the devotee, as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or inauthentic worshipper to be exploited. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Naham prakasha savasya yoga maya samavrita. Rather, by Yoga Maya, the Lord remains concealed, means hidden, to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Nitri Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Devesesa Shunyavadi Askatyane Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nithananda Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja Aseshu Tekshita Pato Nanu Nata pungsam yat yat dhiya tat urugaya vibhavayanti tat tat vapu pranayase satanu grahaya. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. And thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in that particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, summarizes this point. He says the statement here is that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him. So there's an example which I would love to give you how the Lord really manifested to devotee in that particular form in which the devotee liked to worship him. It was the well-known devotee Tulsidas, who had extensively written on the pastimes of Lord Ram. He heard that in Kali Yuga the Lord lives by the shore of the blue ocean on a hill called Nilagiri. Nilagiri means the blue hill. This is an name for Jagannath Puri, because the ancient temple of Puri stands on the side of the ocean, which could be an unstable position because of the shifting sands. But there is a rock bed, you say, And that builds the fundament for the very ancient temple of Jagannath Puri, who always stood there. I understand different temples were built over the thousands of years, but it's always on the same spot. And Tulsi, after hearing that the Lord is on the Blue Hill, came to Jagannath Puri to see the Lord. But when he looked at the Lord, he didn't see the Lord he was worshipping. He was a devotee of Lord Rama. Lord Rama doesn't have these big eyes. I mean, he has lotus eyes, which are very big, but not like Lord Jagannath, who has huge eyes. And Lord Rama had a greenish complexion, not a black complexion. And when he saw Lord Jagannath, and not as he had expected, his Lord Ram, he was very disappointed, and without taking any moment time, he was not resting, nor did he take any food. He left the Blue Hill and the temple of Lord Jagannath to a village which was 6 kilometers away, and there he went to a tree, a banyan tree, and he took a very disturbed rest. He was crying. He had heard and hoped that he would see his Lord, but he felt very disappointed by reading the scriptures. So this was, of course, noticed by Subhadra Devi, who is a manifestation of the Yoga Maya, who brings devotees to their Lord. And she said, she was next to Jagannath. What? You have made a promise that anyone who comes to Puri would get prasad, but just now a great devotee came. He looked at you, and because he is a Rama Bhakta, he could not recognize you as the Supreme Lord, and he went away hungry. What are you going to do about this? So Lord Jagannath, I mean, this is his sister is telling, and so he has to do something. He said, I will do something. And he took on personally the form of a little Brahmin boy and took the golden plate from the altar with an opulent meal to Tulsidas. And Tulsidas, who was sleeping at that time, was wakened by this Brahmin boy and said, "Here, your Lord sends you something to eat." "My Lord? Who?" "You're in Puri." But that's not my Lord." "He is, and he says you should look a little bit more intensely, please." "What?" "Yeah, he is a Lord Ram, is there. He waited for you. He wanted to give you food, but you are so shallow, you could not see him. And now he takes care of you, even if you don't take care of him." Tulsi was very hungry, and he needed to think about this, so he ate. Then he thought, what? I didn't look very closely. So he then went back, and the next morning he took his darshan, and do you know whom he saw on the altar? The statement here is that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him. So can you imagine what form he saw? Lord Ram, you know everything. He had a greenish complexion, there was a bow, So Bhadra Devi had turned into a Mother Sita, and Baladev, no, it was Lakshman. When you visit on a particular day our temple in Berlin, you will also see that the Lord Jagannath has an impressive bow, and you will see he's greenish. When you visit our temple on the Shinga Chaturdasi, however, you will be totally surprised, because then the Lord has lion hair. I don't know how you call that. A lion mane. And next to him is a broken pillar, which still is full of light, because he came out of it. Sometimes on special days, it blinks the light. So the Lord is that is authorized worship, very very special worship, because the Lord can do that for his devotees. That's what is here. What it means is, if we worship Radha and Krishna carefully, the Lord will manifest himself in that form, and not just as a deity outside, but the Lord will go inside of our heart, sit down there, and as the previous verse of the Bhagavatam said, he will not leave the seat of the heart. It's one of the previous verses. He will not go away, but he will stay there and be with us. This is the nature of the Lord. But as Prabhupada points out, he will do so only to a devotee who is not a casual worshipper. Casual is an English word which means something like, Buddha Bhavana, you please help us. Casual is real, super relaxed, isn't it? Uncommitted, yes, uncommitted. He's not revealing himself to an uncommitted devotee who's that is there. Our commitment in devotional service manifests in a very practical way. It manifests in our practice. How serious do we take our devotional, our bhakti practice, our bhakti yoga? When we are very committed to Krishna, we take it very serious. We make sure we chant our rounds free from offenses every day. We read the Bhagavatam. We associate with devotees. When we are not so committed, we are sometimes chanting our rounds and most of the time not. And if we are not at all committed, our good rounds are one light year in the past away from us, and so on. But the moment a devotee commits himself, at that moment the Lord reveals himself. And today, in the beginning of our katha, I would like to say, because this point is made so clear in the Damodar Lila, you will hear a little later, maybe tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, we will see how it goes, because it's so clear that the Lord is only allowing himself to be he only reveals himself to a committed person. I have decided to talk each morning a little bit on our practice. There is one book, it's called The Nectar of Instruction, which is all about practice. It was revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the end of his pastimes. He was one day sitting on the shore of the blue ocean. So everything is blue in Jagannath Puri. And he looked at the environment. We have a devotee with us by Krishna's mercy who is residing in Jagannath Puri. It's Ranika, very old devotee, Ranika Prabhu. And you can ask him about details of Puri. Mahaprabhu said then he saw the trees on the ocean beach, and he saw big sand dunes. And as he saw this in his mind's eye, he always thought of Vrindavan. Vrindavan manifested himself with the blue Jamuna. See, it's also here for us. Govardhan Hill, Govardhan Parvat. I can imagine he's also somewhere here. The wonderful forests of ancient Kadamba trees. So as he was sitting, his mind turned to Vrindavan and how it is possible to reach Vrindavan, by what practice. And as he thought about it, he began to recite verses in which he delineated or outlined the practice for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The devotees took notes, and from these notes this 11-verse book was written by Rupa Goswami called Upadeshamrita. And the Upadeshamrita is basically, if I may summarize it in five sentences, it tells you what to avoid in your devotional service. It tells you very clearly what you should precisely do. It encourages you to take Vaishnav Sangha and gives you instructions how to associate with each other, with devotees. And then it tells you that you should either physically or mentally be in Vrindavan and connect with a very dear devotee, associate of Krishna. You should hear about him. You should become interested in the way he relates to Krishna, because that shows you how you can use your inclination which you have and serve Krishna also. And then you should take shelter under the goddess of bhakti, bhavam prema bhavamayi radhe, if you want to use a long word, that is Radha, who is full with the sweetest love for Krishna, and you should take shelter of her favorite pastime place. Do you know what is Radharani's place in Vrindavan? Radhakund, yes. This is what it tells you. This is the instructions which are in there. Now, in the third verse, the practices of devotional services were given. And I hope I can find it. I forgot it. But yes, everything is available. It tells you of three inner attitudes which you should slowly adopt, and three precise practices. Those who know this verse can chant it with me. Utsaha nischayat dharayat tattat karma pravatanat sangatyagat sato vritte shadbhya bhakti prasityati. So can we please, I think we have a few brahmanas here who are not just brahmanas in name, but who study our scriptures. So can we just find out what are the three attitudes which are here in this verse? Utsaha means enthusiasm. Nischayat, it means a confident faith in the processes of devotional service, yes. And dharyat, I think you said it. Patience, yes, patience. These are the three attitudes which are important to be adopted in devotional service. I will talk about this attitude first, that is the first half of the verse, because not too much in the early morning before breakfast. But I wanted to go a little bit into the detail and show some light from the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali on this shloka. See, the problem which we see in our Hare Krishna movement, that many devotees are not so strong in their practice after some time, because they may not know the role of practice in their spiritual life, and they may not be just committed enough to the goals of spiritual life, or they may be overwhelmed by tamas and rajas. So practice, you must know, is shaky when you are still under the influence of the gunas, but your practice becomes firmly established when it has been cultivated, the practice, without interruption, with devotion, and with devotion and respect over a prolonged time. Don't expect that after just a few years of practicing, 20 years, 30 years or so, you can be relaxed or uncommitted, because the practice only becomes like a habit if you do it without interruption. I think many of the older devotees of you who don't chant 16 rounds each day know that it has happened that you broke your commitment at the time of initiation. Why? Because you interrupted a few times and then you couldn't find back to it. Do you know well, these are painful subjects or private subjects. I will not ask you to respond on this. But see, when you interrupt your practice, it is very difficult to go back to a natural, spontaneous flow. The example which you can give is what Jai Krishna has to do twice a day. He fills this thermos flask twice a day with hot water. Now, in the process of heating the water, if the electricity goes out, he cannot bring it to the boiling point or to the hot point, because if it's interrupted, the supply of heat, it just cools down again. So this is with many of us, we have cooled down again. That may be good in material life, cool down, don't be so passionate, but not in spiritual practice. Our practice has cooled down because we have interrupted it too often. And therefore it doesn't have that required, how do you say, that quality which can really purify our heart and make us enthusiastic for spiritual practices. So Patanjali therefore says, you cannot have a practice where you go on and off, because you live in an atmosphere of tamas and rajas, and these two modes of nature are like highway robbers who steal bhakti from you when you are not with your practice. Therefore, to practice, you have to do it in sattva gun. That means you have to be prepared to do some austerity. Like this morning I talked to a very advanced devotee and I said, why were you not there in Mangalarti? And he said, my mind is too strong. And I said, well, a little austerity is necessary, then you can do it. You must base your life on austerity, knowledge, also celibacy is important, and you must bring faith in your practice. Then you can have an uninterrupted or steady practice. But if you are not prepared to do some austerity, when you are not prepared to increase your knowledge about these things, your practice will become shaky and it will be on and off. It will be interrupted too much. And then he says you must use devotion for it and respect to your practice, and you must be prepared to practice over a prolonged time. Now, I was reading this morning in the Gita, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, where the Lord says, after many births and deaths, someone finally surrenders to me, knowing that I, Vasudev, am everything. For a long time, even being prepared to give it a few lifetimes. This is how you will be successful in your spiritual practice. Now, we all know that's not so easy. It's easy when you are enthusiastic. It's very difficult when you're not enthusiastic. And therefore, the verse on this practice speaks first, before it gives you the practice, about the inner mentality which you need. And that's enthusiastic. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, says Srila Prabhupada, is the symptom of the living entity. It cannot be stopped. You are either enthusiastic for material things or for spiritual things, but you are enthusiastic. It is like a powerful engine. If you utilize it properly, it will give you immense production. Our Radha Sharanagati has a powerful engine there in the car, and if you use it very nice. It brings you like anything, like a storm, a whirlwind. It brought us to Goloka Dham. So in spiritual life, that enthusiasm is so important, my dear devotees. Yesterday I talked with another very advanced devotee and he said, it's clear to me, Maharaj, if I want to go to the next level, it's not so much a question of adding a few more rounds, reading a little bit more, you know, doing a little bit more puja. I need to really go to my enthusiasm. The devotee said to me, but then he asked, how do you increase your enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness? And I promised I would speak about it. And here I'm speaking. Now the devotee should get big ears and hear. First of all, we have to acknowledge that our enthusiasm will be challenged at times. It is natural that our enthusiasm will be a little bit curtailed. Curtailed means like a curtain will come over, joop, and we can't see it any longer. It is so because we live in the material world, which has these covering influences of rajas and tamas, and even sattva is covering. And therefore, it's like if you put a stone into water, it's unfortunately natural that it will get wet. This is natural. Now, when you see that your enthusiasm wanes, it becomes slack, then you must stop what you do and you must take it back again. You must wait a little. You must make a rest in your spiritual life. And I think a good rest is to come here, the association of devotees. And you must try to reclaim or to get it back, the enthusiasm. This is very nicely spoken in a lecture which Srila Prabhupada gave, a very compassionate lecture in Calcutta. He said, if you want actually to make progress in your devotional life, then this utsahan or enthusiasm is the first thing, first enthusiasm. Now, if you are lacking enthusiasm, lacking means if it's not there, then you should rest instead of making too much agitation within the mind. If you can't find your enthusiasm, stop your life. It's like something has dropped in the water, in the river, and you cannot see the thing dropped within the water by agitating the water. Just stand still for some time now. As soon as the water is settled up, you'll see the things as they are. So as soon as your enthusiasm is agitated, it is better to sit down in any temple suitable and chant Hare Krishna. There is no question of being disappointed. I remember in our old Gaura Bhavan, where Gaura Hari was living with us, we had something, I don't know how it's called in English, Buddha Bhavana, maybe you can help me. It's like a wooden thing where you can walk into the lake, I mean above the lake, and you can tie your boat on it. A dock. So we had a little dock, and there was one of our friends was there, and he had a wonderful distraction machine with him. It's called a mobile phone. And it had fallen from the dock into the water. And I felt a lot of compassion because he was very agitated. He said, everything is on that mobile phone. My whole life is in that mobile phone. I said, oh Hare Krishna. All my addresses, all my contacts, it's my access to the world. And he was really panicking. And I said, where is it? I said, we can't see it, because the water at that time, there was some waves. Then I remembered this, and I said, my spiritual master has given an advice about this. You know, one of our friends, he was an artist, he was not practicing Krishna consciousness. Joe was his name. Good artist. So my spiritual master had said, what? He told how to get back a mobile phone from the water? Yes! I mean, he talked about the principle. He said, when the water is agitated, don't agitate it further. Wait until it is still. So let us take some prasadam meal. And afterwards, we will go again here. But if we now try to take a stick and, it will not work. So we did it. We took prasadam, and then we went after 1 hour back, and the water was clear. And there we could see the distraction machine in the water. And we got it out. I don't know if, I mean, a lot of water came out, but maybe it could be repaired. I do not know, but The principle is here. Your enthusiasm can also drop into the world. There can be tamas covering it and rajas. It is natural, unfortunately. So don't agitate your life further by becoming lamenting or being disappointed or being... Just know, I have to get it back. Without getting it back, my spiritual life will not have the engine, the power which it needs, so that my practice, that I can continue my practice unimpeded. Don't make a mistake when you become very active in the material world. It could be covering your spiritual life even more. I live in a community where there is a lot of interaction with the material energy. The devotees have a temple there, but they have a well-going business, and some of our devotees fly all over the world, and they are called to give lectures. But this passionate activity, although you feel you're very much alive, can also cover, it doesn't have to, but it can cover your real spiritual life. It can, and the spiritual life goes on the back burner a little bit, on the back seat. So you need to stop sometimes. Prabhupada says, sit in any temple that is suitable, you know, a nice temple which is suitable. We always think Goloka Dham is such a place because there in Goloka Dham you can be a regular contributing devotee of the service crew, but you can also go in the guest house and be a guest and go on your personal retreat and come from the guest house to the programs as you wish, as it is suitable for your spiritual life. No? This is important. Bhurijam Prabhu and myself, we are at the moment building a big project for you at the side of Govardhan Hill. Is the Govardhan Retreat Center, where there are nice apartments and rooms so that devotees can go and sit down and wait until the and do spiritual activities and wait so that the rajas and tamas, the agitation goes out of their system and they can again see very clearly where their spiritual path is. See, enthusiasm for spiritual life is different than enthusiasm for material life. Enthusiasm for material life is rajas and tamas, mostly rajas, and enthusiasm for spiritual life. Ha! You can't be a rajasic person for that. It will not be the real thing. You need to see that your rajas and your tamas calms down, and then you can see very clearly what you should do and can do your practice. Enthusiasm is so important, my dear devotees, that Prabhupada writes in the Narada Bhakti Sutras, he has written a comment on this. Indeed, he says, enthusing his devotees in devotional service is the purpose for which Krishna descends to this material world. It's amazing, isn't it? Krishna comes to make you enthusiastic, your rajas and tamas covered devotee. Yes, Hare Krishna. The first qualification for bhakti is you need to be enthusiastic, not rajasically for material life and material things. You need to be enthusiastic for your, and then from that enthusiasm flows naturally and commitment to your practice, so that you can do it uninterrupted with devotion and respect over a prolonged time, and then this will have immediate effect. Oh my God, this is now 9 o'clock. I have not even started. No, seriously, I wanted to... Oh, this is a problem. Do I have in the evening? Then no philosophy in the evening. Morning, something in the stomach for philosophy. Not philosophy, it's more from the scripture, some encouragement. See, Leela works only when you rest it on tattva. Tattva means the philosophical understanding of the truth, you know. So then only you can digest the Leela very, very nicely. Otherwise you will take it wrongly and put it in some wrong chapter of your understanding. So good. So this is the first enthusiasm. So first I wanted to say, first mental attitude. And I really want to repeat again that our enthusiasm goes down is unfortunately unavoidable for someone who has not yet deep taste in Krishna consciousness. But there is nothing to lament. You need to calm down now, and you need to take the right things. I have a few more tips how to increase the enthusiasm, and I suspect that I can talk about it a little when you ask questions. We will now have a little question and answer session, and you can see if you have a question on this. Krishna. A very serious discussion, isn't it? Mandaleshwari. So what? Invalid. But you can. And you can't just get it together any longer. Yeah. To now go into the mind of a Mataji, really, to understand your situation, you know, which you are describing. That's not so easy. I need to understand the question before I can attempt to answer it. So, what is happening is you become blocked, apparently? Is it blocked or invalid? What is it?
I mean, sometimes it becomes vicious problem. I just have other problems. You cannot do the
thing which is usually. Aha, you feel incapable.
Yeah, incapable.
Good. I understand the question. This is very important. I read something this morning where Prabhupada said, if you are actually chanting Hare Krishna, you will be enthusiastic. Oh, I shall serve, I shall... That is the effect. Phalena parichiyate. We have to see by the result. He should be enthusiastic more and more. It will increase. The service attitude will increase. And Prabhupada seems to say here, this comes by the when you really chant Hare Krishna. It is my personal experience that once a year I try to chant from morning till evening the Maha Mantra. This year I chanted more, but I was really called by my service. I couldn't do, but since many years, I just know this one year I need to really sit down and chant. And friends who know me have said, we think that your enthusiasm comes from there. It is now Mandaleshwari, when you are enthusiastic, it does not maybe mean that you can do things a vast variety of things. There still will be things which are in your nature and so on, but and things which your nature is not like this. That will be there. So channel your enthusiasm into the things which you can actually do by your body and your mind set. Don't try to enthusiastically do everything and do the things. It's almost like when you have a powerful engine, you still need to direct your car. It can't fly, for instance. You know, it can still only roll on the floor. It can't just go, unless you have a James Bond car with wings and so on. I'm joking. To be enthusiastic doesn't mean you should now try to do everything which you are not capable to do, but what you do, you will do with the strength of the spiritual enthusiasm. Hare Krishna. Is it all right? I'm still not sure if I understood the question properly. Now I understand. Thank you so much, Mandaleshwari. Yeah, that can also happen, that we just overdo things. That is very often the case in devotees, in temple devotees' life. There's so much to do and not enough devotees, and then they do too much, and then they suffer what is called burnout. You don't have to bring deep spiritual principles. You can just stick with ordinary psychology. This is a burnout. It's a normal psychological thing. And it's a physical. You just don't have any desire really to do anything, you know. And a good devotee at that time knows, burnout. It needs, if I don't take care of it, it will now, I will suffer emotionally, and then if I don't take care of it, I will suffer physically. So better I now do something. It's a burnout in spiritual life. It's almost like the beginning of a disease, you know, very subtly it starts, and it needs to be taken care of. I often personally have this problem that I do too much, I travel too much, I see people up to 1 o'clock in the morning because I'm at this place, and next morning I'm flying somewhere else, and there's still so many devotees who wish to speak, and some of them need to speak with an older devotee. And then after some time, I just want to read. And sometimes it's necessary to read and rest, because we are working with a limited source of supply. Any intelligent devotee, I know even Srila Prabhupada sometimes took 1 month's rest, knowing well that he needed the rest now to. My dear devotees, I think it's such a human philosophy by saying that enthusiasm is the first thing in spiritual life, and if it burns up, if it goes down, then Prabhupada he said, now sit down, you know, you don't need to do now many things any longer, and you wait and for some time, and it will come back again. I think we all know this. I think it's so human in the sense that it is so real and so practical and so normal, if you wish. Normal is not a standard we like to follow. I mean, it's not that we have to be normal, but and sometimes we may have to be a little normal, like in this case. Good. I gave it a little time. Ananta Prabhu, we can talk now right after this, because it's 9:15 and I want to not go too long so that the whole program can be done.